The book of life was open by two male scarred hands when I knelt at an old altar. Oh, I was born again. Now I'm in it to a mansion. Well, that my God has prepared. It makes me shout.
Good to be in the house of the Lord. Turn your Bible. I'd love for you to read with us this morning. Over in the book of Numbers, I want to read out of the 14th chapter. Numbers 14th chapter. Man, I got a blessing out of that right there. Ooh. I'll tell you why. Let me tell you why. The Bible actually tells us one day that whose name was not found written in the Lamb's Book of Life. That's in the future. So let's get an old country boy terminology. Now let's just suppose whenever you die, you get to go. You're not in a grave, all right. Just if you ain't figured that out, stick a while after a while. We'll talk about it. But you're not in a grave. You might think you are, but the body's there. Well, the Bible talks about A little simple thing. He says there's joy in the presence of the angel. Not that the angels are happy. Now, the angels get happy, but there's joy in the presence of the angels over one sinner that repenteth more than 99. Okay, so I don't want to go over there too long, but I just want to tell you this. When there's joy in the presence of those angels, that must mean somebody's up yonder besides angels. All right? Must be. I ain't very smart, but must be. So if there's somebody else up there and there's joy in the presence of those angels, and it ain't God the Father, it ain't God the Son, okay? If they're not up there, another subject, another day, if they're not the ones being happy, it must be somebody else is up there. So if that somebody else is up there, all right? Now, here's what I'd like to know. I'd like to know everybody that I know is going to be saved, that I'd love for them to be up there. So I'd like to look at the book ahead of time. You ain't got to do that. That's good English, isn't it? You ain't got to do that. Why? If you're up there, all right, before I get up there, all that kind of stuff, that kind of thing, it's fine, well and good. But whenever somebody gets saved, if you already up there, you're going to know it. You're going to know it. I'll talk about that another time. My goodness. It's important to know whenever your loved ones get saved. My daddy died when I was 2 years old. When I was two, okay? He didn't know down here that I was going to get saved. My two sisters, okay, they were young. They were real young. But you know what? When all three of us got saved, my daddy knew about it. Talk about it another day. 14th chapter of the book of Numbers. The power of God is real. The power of God in the book of Genesis. The power of God. When God spoke in the book of Genesis, He just spoke this world into existence. When God said, "Let there be light," it happened immediately. Everything that happened in the creation period, according to the book of Genesis, happened in 6 days. Everything that happened, he would say, "It's good. It was good." Now, everything that we know of, have been, and all this kind of stuff was created in those 6 days. But at the end of every day, God would say, "Boy, that's good. That's good. That's good." See, the power of God is amazing. It's amazing. We can't fathom. We can't think it. We can't understand how much power God has. We kind of read it, but we really can't really fathom it. We think our military, we like to brag about our military right now. Boy, they're able to do a lot. Missiles, bombs, all those, boy, that's huge. Go and see some of the huge skyscrapers in New York or all the other big cities like Chicago. You'll see, man, they reach the, how in the world are we able to figure out, man, we're pretty smart. We may be smart, but God's powerful. Bible says we're ever learning but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. You can be the smartest man on earth and die and go to hell. Read with us, first verse, 14th chapter. "And all the congregation lift up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night." What happened? 13th chapter tells us that there was 12 spies sent into the land. A land that God said you're going to go and you're going to possess it. You're going to have it. It's going to be yours. Sent out 12 spies, 2 from every tribe. Whenever they sent out those spies, when they came back, Joshua and Caleb came back with a good report. The rest of them didn't. Rest of them said, you know, whenever we look at their eyes, we're like a man. We're nothing compared to the size of those. We're like grasshoppers. If you ever read your Bible and understand that part, you think, man, how in the world can we go into a land like that and be able to conquer them? Because remember, God was saying, whenever you go into the land, you're going to take that land over. It's going to be your land. It's not going to be, oh, something we'll just kind of get along with the enemy. No, God says, you're going to go in that land and you're going to take that land. Well, fear set in. Fear set in. But you know what happened on that day? Here's where it reads in verses 2. "And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. And the whole congregation said unto them, Would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in this wilderness." All of a sudden, God's people see two things wrong. They say, well, of all this that happened and all this is wrong, all of a sudden, would God want us, it'd be better for us if we just died back there. It'd be better for us I don't think God can help. It'd be better if we'd have died back there in the land of Egypt than going through right now. Wait a minute. It'd been better for us if we just died right here than to go over into that promised land. Now, they didn't realize something. They were looking at themselves, at yourself. I'm telling you, I'm weak. I'm telling you, if I'd have been looking through the eyes that some of those folks have been looking at, I'd have said, yep, brother, you're right. You're right. There is no way that me, if I'm going to go fight in that battle, there's no way that I can go and fight in this battle. I'd lose. We're going to lose. You see, if you start looking at yourself, you're going to lose. But I believe the power of God. I believe the power of God is real. I believe the power of God can come down. You see, here we have Moses and Aaron. They believe in the power of God. When the closer they would get to God, if you think about when being on the mountaintop with God, when they get closer to God, they believed in the power of God. If I can say it this way, they saw the power of God. They felt the power of God. You see, once I've been born again into God's family, you know, there's been, and I don't like to talk about feelings, but I don't guarantee you one thing. When you get born again, the Holy Spirit of God lives within you, and all of a sudden you feel His presence in your heart and life. I know I'm saved because of His presence in my life. I know I'm different. I know I've been changed. I know I'm changed from that creature that I was to a creature that I am today. It's all because of the Holy Spirit of God living inside of us. And if you're saved, that Holy Spirit moves in and makes a new creature out of you. Old things pass away, and behold, all things become new. I believe in that. I know that for a fact. But I also believe and know the power of God. The children of Israel didn't. And what Moses and we find Moses and Aaron doing in verses 3, therefore hath the Lord said unto, brought us into this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey. Were it not better for us to return to Egypt? And they said one to another, let us make a captain and let us return unto Egypt. They didn't want Moses and Aaron, no sir. And Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. Every one of us that's read this Bible know that part. We understand right now, Moses and Aaron did not say a word, not to them. When God begins to get our attention, it's not always the preacher that's going to get your attention. When you come to the house of God, preacher, if you can bless me, go ahead and bless me if you can. But right now, my heart's not in a condition to be blessed. That's fine. You ain't worried about this old preacher right here going to tickle you. I'm not going to try to make you happy. I'm not going to try to make you sad. I'm not going to try to make you anything. If the Lord Jesus doesn't do it, you're not going to have anything done. If there's not going to be a change in your life, it's not going to be done by this preacher, because he has no power, no ability. It has to come from God, or it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. We get too much confidence in a preacher when we had and should have confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ. We have too much trust in a man of God. We ought to trust God instead of God's man. Boy, that sounds so, that's strong, isn't it? But the truth of it is, when you trust in man, you'll fail. When you trust in God, you'll never fail. Moses and Aaron got on their faces in front of God. Got right down on their face in front of God. Look what happens next. Verse 6, and Joshua, the son of Nun, Caleb, the son of whatever his name was, his family, which were of them, searched the land, rent their clothes. That was a terminology that we read in the book of Job. This is a terminology that they ripped their clothes. And what did they do? And they spake unto the company of the children of Israel, this land which have passed through to search is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us and bring us in the land, give us the land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not. I don't want to read anymore right now. I want you to listen. When you've got the two spies that began to speak, and what they began to speak all along, Moses and Aaron is on their face in front of God. They're not saying a word. Joshua and Caleb are now trying to present a message to the children of Israel. Don't rebel against God. They have indeed wanted to find a leader to lead them back into the land of Egypt. Now, I don't know about you, but I know the power of God. I've read in this Bible so many times the demonstration of the power of God is real. And friend, I want you to know that right now it would have been so very easy for God to do what we've read many times out of this chapter. Let's just get rid of these folks. Let's just get rid of these rebellious people right now. I don't want to say that too loudly, because have you ever been rebellious against God? I'll have to say I have. I'll have to say that when God has spoken to me on occasions, boy, howdy, it would be like, God, you sure you want to talk to me? Well, God, why don't you go
go tell somebody else. Leave me alone, God. Go somewhere else. Boy, howdy. You might ought to be careful how you talk to God. You might ought to be careful how you say, God, why don't you go somewhere else? Friend of mine, the children of Israel, I believe they love God, but they sure showed it in some very peculiar ways. I believe their intentions was almost good. I believe their heart was almost right. But friend of mine, God had in his mind Moses and Aaron, who he loved and put in the right positions, doing the right thing. Joshua and Caleb that come back with such a good report, and everybody else that jumped on the bandwagon of saying, I don't think this is what we ought to do. And now it changes. And God is fixing to do something that sometimes we just don't know what God is going to do. But watch this, verse 10. And all the congregation bade stone them with stones. And the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle. Now, it didn't say Moses and Aaron had went to the temple and they'd went there and they were going to have a worship service. No, sir. It didn't say, let's rejoice and worship the Lord together. No, it didn't say none of that. In fact, while all this rebellious activity, while all this foul spirit was going on, Moses and Aaron, right down their own face, here the people of the children of Israel are wanting to stone these folks. They're wanting to take some vengeance against what's going on. And at that same time, God's glory moved into the tabernacle. Now, I want to use an old country boy English. The light in the church was all of a sudden on, and there was no electricity in the building. The power of God had come down. Friend, when the power of God comes down and the glory of the Lord begins to shine, kind of reminds me what happened when Jesus was born. You know, whenever Jesus was born, the glory of the Lord kind of shined down. I don't know how you look at it, but I really believe when the Lord comes back, the glory of the Lord is going to shine. I believe whenever God begins to make his presence in this world, the light that we see in the sunshine, friend of mine, there's a greater light than that. That greater light is going to shine. And in this tabernacle, somehow or another, they figured out God's light was beginning to shine. Boy, the power of God was real in the tabernacle on that day. And when the real power comes down, it's kind of like when me and you will get in the right condition with God, the power of God will come down. But if we're not in the right condition of God, we're like outsiders looking in. We say, God bless us, God bless us. God won't bless you unless you get in the right condition to be blessed. He won't. You've got to get your heart right. You've got to get your spirit right. You've got to get your obedience right. And when you get right with God, friend of mine, God's going to bless you. What's wrong with that church? What's wrong with that preacher? Ain't nothing wrong with them. What's wrong with you? Might be figuring something else. Watch this. So all of a sudden, God says, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to try to stop reading as much. God says, Moses and Aaron, here's what we're going to do. We're going to get rid of them. We're going to get rid of them. Right now, Johnny on the spot, these folks is no longer going to be the hindrance. Now, this morning, I want to talk to you about this power of God. But this power of God can only be revealed, watch this, in verse 17. And now, verses 17, and now I beseech thee. You know, friend, if it wasn't for somebody standing in the behalf, like Moses, standing in the behalf and standing in the middle and being that go-between, God's power would have taken care of those children of Israel. But Moses loved those folks. You know, I don't know how to put it to you this way. If you're lost without God, there's a love that God has put in our heart for you. You see, I don't have to stand up here every Sunday and preach to the lost and dying world. I don't.
You know what I could do? I could pick out every verse in the Bible that says, oh, look how good God is. Oh, look at how good and wonderful He is. And we could just have just butter just running all over every place. Just so good stuff. But no. If a person is going to get saved, they must see the love of God, but they must also see the wrath of God also. You got to see heaven, but you got to also understand hell. This Bible is going to tell you about a wonderful place to go to, and it's going to also tell you about a place you need to shun or to not go to, and that's hell. Now, in this particular passage, Moses is going to stand up in front of God, and Moses is going to do something. Watch what he says in verses 17. And now I beseech thee, let the power of my Lord be great. Read that. Let the power of my God, my Lord, let it be great. Friend, that's what God was going to do. He was going to, friend, he could create this earth in a day. The power of God is not short. It's not slack. The power of God is real. Friend of mine, God, you defy God, God can bring you down in one split second. That's the power of God. Moses knew the power of God. But look how Moses says, let the power of God be great, according as thou hast spoken, saying, watch this, the Lord is long-suffering. Now the word long-suffering is something we don't rarely use. We rarely have. It's the ability to exercise patience. Patience. Moses is asking God, we know that you're extremely patient. Friend, if you're lost without God, how many times has He spoken your direction and you've turned God away? How many times has God told you what to do and you specifically said no? Every time you say no to God, friend, you're taking a chance that God will turn and leave. But God, in His wisdom, friend, in His long-suffering, He's extremely patient when it comes, when it concerns. And Moses is saying, Lord, would you be extremely patient with these folks? Let me ask you something. Have you ever had to pray the same prayer of, Lord, I'm sorry, more than once? More than 10 times? I hate to be the one to tell you, but this old preacher has prayed it so many times, I don't know if I could count the number of times I've said, Lord, I'm sorry. Why? Because God showed me. God's told me. God lets me experience things that I need to say, Lord, I'm sorry. And not just say the words, but mean the words. Well, there's a big old difference right there. Whenever we will let the power of God. Moses is telling this to God. He ain't like telling these contrary children of Israel. He's telling this to God. God, let's let your long suffering be forefront. Not only that, but he says, the Lord is long-suffering and is of great mercy. Oh, my goodness. Mercy like this is not getting what we deserve. And by no means forgiving iniquity and transgression. Forgiving iniquity. Sometimes we do things so willfully. Transgression is like, we sometimes transgress God. We deliberately do things against God. I've had folks tell me, preacher, I can't help my language. them cuss words slip out before I really know they slip out. And unless you understand the lost carnal man, you understand their vocabulary is to cuss and swear. But you know what God can do? Get their soul saved. Friend, that language just, boop, it changes. But God is, Moses is telling these folks, forgive iniquity and transgression and by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of their fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation. I don't want to even tell you that. Third and fourth generation. You see, God's very long-suffering. God's very patient. God's very kind. I want you to see all of these things. And Moses is trying to say, God, this is what you are. This, because you know whenever you defy God, you could get smoked. But God is saying, Moses is telling God, I know you're able. I know you can. I know you have the ability. Anybody that can create this earth in one single day, anything that the power of God can be revealed. Friend, God's already moved on the scene in the tabernacle. He's already letting that glory shine. It wouldn't be nothing to get rid of all of them right then and there. But here's what Moses is asking God to do. He's letting him see himself. Here's what he says in verses number 19. The very first word is pardon. Pardon, I beseech thee, the iniquity of this people. Pardon, I beseech thee, the iniquity of this people. Pardon. You know, if the President of the United States looks at a person that he's in prison and he's in prison for whatever, he could have committed dead-level murder. A president right now has the ability to do what we call pardon and give that piece of paper written by the president to that court system, that overrule everything that the courts have said, you're guilty, you're going to spend all this time in jail. He can put that pardon down and that man, woman will go free. Go free. Ain't a thing in the world nobody can do about it because that's the system we believe in. If the president can do that, and the president has no ability anymore after what we can call a temporary time, what can God do? What can God do? Moses is asking them to be pardoned. In my terminology, to be forgiven. To be forgiven. To be forgiven. Friend, when we talked earlier, well, we're trying to make a jibber-jabber one. When we talked earlier about my name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life, friend, that's important to me. It's important to know that my name is recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life. It's important to me to know that I've been born again. It's important to know that I'm saved. It's important to know that one day God pardoned me of my sins. He took my sins away from me. These children of Israel had done things right there that even God was sick of hearing. He sure was sick of hearing me. He was sick of hearing what you do. He's sick of hearing it time after time after time of saying, I won't do this anymore. I'm sorry I've done this. I'm sorry I've done that. But you've always said you've been sorry, but you never come to God to ask for forgiveness of your sins. See, there's a huge difference in telling your mom and daddy you're sorry. There's a huge difference standing in front of a judge at the court because you say you killed somebody and say you're sorry. It's a whole big difference when you come in front of an almighty God that has the power over life and over death and has the power to cast you into heaven or has the power to put you into hell. It's altogether different when you come to Him and say, I'm sorry.
But
the difference is God must pardon you. And the only way for a pardon is through the Lord Jesus Christ. Because if he doesn't shed his blood on Calvary's cross for your sins, there is no pardon. You would have to stand on your own. Man, the things that I've done wrong, I don't want to stand on my own. You ever seen animals when they'll have little babies and whatever, and especially certain animals whenever the mama's going off and some kind of predator comes along? Now, them animals can kind of scatter, but when that predator comes along, them animals run to mama. But they'll just get as close to mama as they possibly can. You know what they're depending on? That animal nature for that parent right there, that mama, to fight whatever is coming after them. It's just nature. It's a nature thing. Whenever I sin against God, before Jesus, I had to stand on my own. But after I got saved, you know who I run to? You know whenever I've done wrong, whenever I've failed God, you know where I run to? I run right to where I got saved, right to Jesus. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses me from all sin. And you know where you need to run to? Run to the Lord. Run to Him. If you run to Him, He's that protection. Know where it comes from? When God grants the pardon. And that pardon for you can be done because of what Jesus did for you. I'm glad the children of Israel were contrary. I really am. I'm glad them folks was like a bunch of crazy folks that defy God, because every crazy thing that they did reminds me of me. I've done some pretty stupid stuff in this world, and God's forgave me. Don't look at yourself, because you've done the same things. But I got news for you. Ye be without sin, grab that rock. The Bible says, ye be without sin, cast that first stone. Them fellas that was doing that accusing, they walked away. They'd have went away. Friend of mine, I got news for you. It's easy for me to look at you and say, I'm better. It's easy for you to look at me and say, I'm better. But I got news for you. If it wasn't for the Lord Jesus Christ, friend of mine, we're none of us righteous. No, not one. Let me ask you a question. I was. Do you recognize the power of God? Oh, sin, God to not wipe you out right now today. But God's long-suffering. He's patient. He's kind. He's loving. He could wipe you out with one breath. But ain't you glad somebody stood in behalf like Moses? Ain't you glad that somebody that was willing to look at the face of those sinner folks and say, God, would you pardon them? Well, that was just old Moses. Moses ain't near what the Lord was. What the Lord is able to do in my life today, what He's able to do, He's able to forgive me despite looking at my face and knowing that I'm a failure, knowing that I'm weak. And when He looks at you, He looks at you the same way. If you're here lost without God, He loves you. I can go to sleep at night because I got a clean heart, not because of the things that I've done, because what Jesus did. That's a big old difference. Whenever I was lost and I'd go to sleep, I'd be afraid I wasn't going to wake up in the next morning. But I'm glad the condemnation that comes with sin passes away when I pass from death unto life. May we stand to our feet. Get us a verse of a song. I probably got a little ahead of the game, but let's get a verse of a song and stand to our feet and be able right now to be able to know beyond a shadow of a doubt, do you know you've been pardoned? To be pardoned. To be pardoned is something greater than even the President of the United States can do. To be pardoned is greater than anything this world can be produced. I'm glad I've been saved. I've been pardoned by God the Lord Jesus Christ. Forgive me of my sins. God looks at me, He sees Jesus. He don't see me. If you're here today and lost, I invite you to these altars. Whenever you get ready to sing, Brother Greg, you come today.